So now what, Bill?
Where are you? Where do you want to sit? Are you giving a presentation?
No.
Oh, Randy's gone. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't see where my nameplate was.
God, I can't see.
Do you want to sit here? Are you sure? Oh, okay. You want your glasses?
I don't think we've ever had a meeting without Randy.
You're welcome.
Is Randy gone?
It's not on the agenda, so we can't do anything.
Right.
Okay. So the only thing is if you feel like there needs to be more recognition, then you can report back to staff.
Memorial Day weekend, it's like 28.
I turned it on the inside.
Now the battery's working.
Good evening, everyone. This is the regular council meeting of the City of Pismo Beach Council. Today is May 17th, Tuesday, and it's a little after 4:30. We'll have roll call, please.
Mayor Reese.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G.
Here.
Councilmember Rabinal.
Here.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Here.
Councilmember Natoli.
Barely here.
Thank you.
Morality can prevail in the exclusion of religious principle, unquote. Then in 1781, Thomas Jefferson, our third president, said, God who gave us life gave us liberty. Can these liberties be thought secure if we remove from them their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that their liberties are a gift from God? Unquote. And so today, it is in this spirit that we offer this invocation. And once again, we boldly declare and affirm our national motto, In God We Trust. We are exceedingly grateful for the bounties of heaven that has preserved our great nation. We enjoy peace and prosperity, power and wealth that is unknown by any other people on earth. And we acknowledge your gracious guiding hand in our great country and our beloved city. We invoke your blessings and your wisdom to rest upon our mayor and the members of our city council and their support staff. Even now, allow the power of your eternal presence and a new dimension of your divine enablement to cause their thought processes to respond to your divine guidance. May the decisions that are made here today honor you and be for the betterment of our beautiful city of Pismo Beach, all of our citizens, and each of our visiting guests. This invocation we pray in the name of our personal Savior and Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dr. Jones. Please join me in pledging the flag of the United States. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we have no presentations this evening, and so now is the time for public comment. If there's anyone in the audience that would like to make any comment at all before the City Council, now is the time. These are items that are not on the agenda, and I do have a few speakers' cards here. I have Doug McMillan.
Fast. Madam Mayor, council members, and staff. My name is Doug McMillan. I am from Rose's Italian Restaurant, 491 Price Street, Pismo Beach. It has come to my attention that Caltrans and SLOCOG will once again be attempting to ask Pismo Beach City Council to proceed with the Price Street Extension Project. I have personally sat down with a representative from SLOCOG, and I'm here to enlighten you on this project. I feel it will have a detrimental impact on the entire city of Pismo Beach. This plan calls for the closure of the Hines Street off-ramp as well as the southernmost southbound on-ramp of Price Street to the 101. It is this on-ramp closure that I am now more concerned about. The construction of this project will, as they put it, last 1.5+ years. This could mean even longer. My guess is 3 to 5 years. We cannot afford to let this happen. The way the project is laid out is all wrong for the city of Pismo Beach. The closure of the Price Street on-ramp will lead to complete chaos in Pismo. According to their study, 10,000 cars use that on-ramp every day. Where are those cars going to go? Where are those thousands of cars coming off Price Canyon going to go? All those cars will turn right onto Price off of Price Canyon. They will be traveling north on Price, thousands of cars through a one-lane and multi-stop sign street. No study on this and what the impact will be. Will we be able to keep our parking and stop signs on Price Street? We will have to put up a new sign to our incoming customer base in Pismo Beach. Welcome to Pismo Beach. You can get in, but good luck trying to get out. We all agree that an extension is good for Pismo, just not this one. They are so worried about losing their allocated money. How about the city of Pismo and the businesses losing their money, our money? Who is the council loyal to, them or us? Pismo businesses cannot rely on tourists alone. We need our locals. How many locals do you think are going to spend the extra time getting in and out of Pismo, and for how long? I'm not willing to make a bet on this. Are you? Some businesses could end up closing their doors. I can't believe this extension project is this close to happening. They only tell us what we need to know. They are hoping we don't ask the right question. Well, sorry, guys, we are asking, and they don't seem to have the answers. They just recently are saying that this 500
small children, ages 4 and 3, and as a practicing emergency physician, safety is of the utmost importance to me. I and the vast majority of my neighborhood oppose parking on Ventana Drive. We do not feel it is safe given the steepness of the hill, the curved road, the center divider, and the proximity to a park that attracts small children. With the parking in Chumash Park and the lot across from Chumash Park, it appears to us now that the city has created a four-way intersection and will allow parking on both sides on Ventana, which certainly we believe will limit visibility. Over a couple of evenings and afternoons last week, I canvassed as much of the Ventana area as I could, gauging community sentiment and preparing a petition, which I have to present to you today. I only had time to get to less than half of the homes. The overwhelming consensus of our community was to oppose parking on Ventana Drive. We are asking you, the City Council, to help us in this matter. Let me be clear here to ensure that you understand what the petition opposes. It states, "We oppose parking on Ventana Drive. It does not oppose parking in the city-owned lot across the street from the park or in the park itself. Those are separate issues about which many community members express strong opinions to me, but I'm not presenting those concerns to you here today. We have been told this decision was made as the result of the success of Chumash Park and also the new sushi restaurant." That's quoting the city. "As an almost 8-year resident of this neighborhood, my direct observations and those of many of my neighbors lead me to believe that this statement is only half correct. The parking needs of the park itself have not significantly changed to the extent that something needed to be done. We all know that the commercial parking needs of a local restaurant prompted this decision. The chief of police himself admitted to me that his decision to open Ventana to parking probably was not a good solution to that problem. That is obvious by current direct observation, as rarely have vehicles parked directly on Ventana in this area the city designated. You may ask us then, why are we opposed to parking on Ventana if hardly anyone is doing just that? Our response again is safety. We are the residents who use this feeder street in and out of our community multiple times each day and night. I believe it was originally designated no parking for safety reasons. By designating Ventana Drive open to parking, we believe our safety, as well as that of others, will be negatively affected. I believe the safety issues are too numerous to discuss in detail here in the time allotted. We are also asking the city for a legal opinion on this issue, as our CCNRs, which were adopted by the city, state, in quotes, Ventana Drive will be designated as no parking. We believe that includes all of Ventana, not just a portion of it. In closing, we believe this decision provides no significant benefit to the city, it does not effectively address the issue that prompted it, and most importantly, it significantly diminishes the safety of our community. It is with these thoughts in mind that I ask the council to agendize this issue." Thank you.
Thank you.
the handout right here for you.
Staff to let's look into this a little farther.
We might ask for a couple things of clarification. I think there's deed restrictions here that they've given us that I think the city attorney took a look at. Maybe he could just comment on that for the public at the moment. And I know this is not on the agenda, so we really can't have an extended discussion on it.
Well, I looked at them very briefly, just one page of the CCNRs, and I haven't looked at any of the other maps as to the dedications, but it would be unusual for the CCNR to bind property outside the tract itself. It clearly does say that within the tract itself, Ventana is going to be no parking, and it's my understanding that within the tract it still is no parking. But the portion of Ventana that we're talking about is actually outside the tract. So without going back and looking at all the maps, I couldn't state whether or not there are any other restrictions on that. But from the CCNRs, there are not.
I wonder, Madam Mayor, if we could agendize this so that we could discuss it.
Okay. Is it the desire of the council to put this on a future agenda?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Majority of the council. Okay. Could we do that for discussion purposes? Okay. Thank you very much. And then I have Art Anthony.
Madam Mayor, council members. Art Anthony. I live on Coral Court. Really good story yet on dinosaur caves. It deserves one. It's much more than a city park. I haven't seen a story yet on what's happening with our wastewater treatment plant, the largest single public works project, I think, in the South County in at least 20 years. Where's the coverage? I haven't seen it. I don't think it's been there. We deserve that. The people who elected you deserve it. What can you do about this? Well, a couple of things popped into my mind. First of all, and this is always a bone of contention, but I think the city newsletter, the Clam Chronicle, could carry a lot of this stuff to the people who live and work in our city by simply doubling the amount of issues that you publish. Now, I know this is money we're talking about, but you're coming up to budget time. Maybe you should talk about that or at least think about it at that time. Another thing is, I've found in my own relationship with local reporters and newspaper editors here in San Luis Obispo County that they get so busy that they don't often have time to really find out what people are interested in before they have a reporter go write a story. Take it to them. Hold press conferences when you have something that you think is worthy of note. Bring them in. Give them all the facts. Don't try to write the story for them. Don't propagandize them. Give them the facts and tell them why it's important that everybody face these kinds of issues. The other thing which is kind of allied to that is rumors. Another thing I've learned, you all know this because you get the calls. You get a phone call from Citizen A who has gotten some bad information somewhere and says, what are you going to do about this? Well, in the first place, you got to do is fill them in with the correct information if you've got it. And if you don't have it, you come back and you get it, and then you call them up. A lot of time and energy is wasted in this. Rumor control is not my forte. May I go on for a little bit, Madam Mayor?
Short period of time, please.
I'm hurrying. Things like this little postcard that was sent out to my neighborhood last June or July had a map on it that's missing a lot of key things. People look at that map and they say, what's going to happen down there by my house? Who's going to build what down there? And you've probably gotten a lot of calls on that one. The facts, the truth, has to be gotten out there. That's the basis of the whole thing. The last thing I'd like to say is Saturday, the 21st, is Armed Forces Day, and I hope we will all say some prayers for our young warriors. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Susan Brazil, did you want... did you want to make comment under public comment or on one of the items? Okay.
Madam Mayor and City Council members, I would like to first announce that tomorrow night will be the showing on TV of Bobby Flay, Barbecuing with Bobby Flay, and it will be Wednesday, May 18th at 9 p.m., or for you early morning folks, it would be Thursday, May 19th at 1 a.m., and then again Saturday, May 21st at 2 p.m. That's just in case Art Anthony gets tired of watching City Council. Anyhow, he will be on the Food Network channel, and it's Brad's Restaurant will be featured. And if you haven't had their barbecued buffalo clams, they're great. They're a little on the warm side. The second thing is, as you know and you support, the Conference and Visitors Bureau is a member of Travel Industry International, and they hold their annual international meet, which this year had approximately 80 countries involved, in various cities in the United States. Quite often it will be in Los Angeles. I've been doing this for about 17 years. And this last one was held in New York City, and I'm proud to show you that we were on the Today Show with our Pismo Beach banner. And so I contacted NBC and asked what the cost of that advertising would be, because Al Roker also spoke to Renee and said Bugs Bunny and clams and Pismo Beach. And we found that Ann Curry's brother lives here in Pismo Beach. We never knew that. And so it was pretty exciting for us. Then the third exciting thing for us to share is on May 3rd, you okayed the reprint of the Visitor's Guide. And then this new one that we just had reprinted, we took advantage of the wine tasting in our area on page 12 and 13. And I brought extras for the public if they would like some. To capitalize on the movie Sideways that was just released, that was filmed in San Ynez Valley. So we've expanded our wine information, included a wine map, as well as expanded our meetings and conferences area of the visitor's guide, so that we can attract more midweek business. And of course, we always promote exactly.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. I have another card here from Rick Grenzick. Did you want to speak?
Madam Mayor, council members, thank you for the opportunity to speak. Rick Grenzick, Santa Fe Street. Last week I read an article. Okay, thanks.
All done.
Boy, those minutes are going by faster and faster. Last week I read an article in the Tribune, I believe it was, and it was regarding $20,000 going to Shell Beach. And I have to say that as I was reading it, even though Shell Beach will take any dollars that you want to dole out, I had to chuckle. Because when you start talking about $20,000 and people are now discussing and going into committees as to how are we going to spend these dollars, what I'm unfortunately laughing about in a sad sort of way is that we have some major issues in Shell Beach. And $20,000 isn't even going to begin to solve them. And so I have been, whether you know it or not, a very, very strong supporter of what you folks do, because I understand part of your job, and I commend you for all the things that you've done. But one of the things that I encourage you to do is begin to really look at long-term, and I've been up here saying this before, long-term, let's start dealing with some of these issues. I throw the ball for my dogs at Shell Beach Park all the time. One of the balls went over the cliff, so I climbed down the cliff. I haven't been down there in a number of years. The spot where my wife and I were married is gone. I mean, that cliff is eroding away. That entire bluff system is eroding away. It's probably okay until we start hitting the roads. At what point do we say, okay, this is enough, and there's already points that are eroding into the roadways, as you know. My point is please begin to approach this come up with a long-term plan, because if we don't, the Coastal Commission and whoever else will not allow us to fix our roads, and eventually we're just going to have a bunch of one-way streets going up and down like Boca. So that's just one, and then, of course, the street issues and things like that. Thank you for the $20,000, wherever it gets spent, but that is a pittance when you start talking about the percentage of our budget and things like that, and I really encourage you to start looking at and putting it on the agenda, not just, gee, one day we should do that, is really discussing these issues for long-term planning. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, I have a card here from Scott Smith.
Madam Mayor, members of the council, I want to thank Susan for reminding me of something. But on our Police Department Citizens Academy, tonight's the graduation of our next class. So I'll have to leave early to attend that. But I just wanted to throw out, we will be holding another Citizens Academy coming up here soon. Anybody interested, contact the police department. And it's a 10-week program where we invite citizens of the community to come down to the police department. We cover various areas of law enforcement and things that are particular to our department. And we try to recruit members of our citizen volunteer patrol from that, which are not only assist the police department, they also assist us in saving a great deal of overtime on our budget. And I know you've been through it, and it's really quite a good program, and we're looking forward to getting some new faces out on the street.
Okay, and if they are interested, they should just contact you or?
Yeah, they can contact me at the police department or Julie Castaneda, our secretary, at 773-7029.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. It's a great program. Okay, Joe Crescione.
Good afternoon, Madam Mayor and City Council members. I have received a number of phone calls from a newspaper article that came out, and people are still of the impression that I know what's going on at the City Hall. So, and this has to do with the apparent water giveaway program. And I'm very concerned that perhaps we are, in fact, giving water away. I've heard many times the discussion saying that, whiskey is for drinking and water is for fighting. Well, it seems as though we're not fighting at all on this issue. So I also would like to remind the council that when this Pismo Beach was in the process of trying to save some money and trying to go together with the sewer plant, and Mayor Brown, for example, he was chastised. He was made fun of, and all kinds of things happened about the fact that the other communities wanted nothing to do with Pismo Beach. And as a matter of fact, Bill and myself were given the runaround. Okay, very concerned about that. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe. I think that will be on a future agenda, and there will be time for good discussion.
Good discussion. Before it gets on the agenda.
June 7th.
Okay, I have a card from Tony Spinelli.
Good evening. Spinelli, Pismo Beach. A couple things. One thing was I've gotten a couple of calls of some disgruntled individuals that are a little upset with the in-lieu fees, and I would like to see or make a suggestion that we bring that you direct staff to bring that back to council and rethink that issue. Basically, there's four restaurants that I know of that want to expand, and they can't because they can't afford to do it. And with all due respect to Bill, I think it's the problem of the city to address our parking issues and not the business people. Secondly, the problem that I see with the new restaurant up there on 4th Street, and hearing the rhetoric that's going on with those local residents, I think that if you take James Way, and this is just a suggestion, and get rid of the double lines in the middle of James Way from 4th Street down and create two lanes of traffic, you might be able to squeeze a lane of parking on James Way. So that's all I've got for now. Thank you.
Thank you. I have no other cards. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak on any items that are not on the agenda? Okay, seeing none, we will move on to City Council comments and requests. Is there anyone that has any comments or requests? Phil?
Yeah, just briefly, Rudy Natoli, Shelley Higginbotham, Marianne Reese, and myself recently had an opportunity last night to attend a speech by the governor, and it was Legislative Action Days in Sacramento. It was a very, very worthwhile trip, even though we weren't able to meet as individually as all of us would have liked to. We had a scheduled appointment with Sam Blakesley, but he had a relative pass during our stay up there, and he had to leave to go back to Indiana. But, you know, one of the things that come out of these meetings, you know, there are those that they say, oh, gee, the council goes to too many meetings and these kinds of things, and we really don't. I've got to commend Arlene as an example. She really scrutinizes any trips that need to be taken, and if it's going to be at the taxpayer's expense and not a real, real benefit to the community, she and all of us elect not to go. So I think that that's important to know. But it was a very, very productive time, and I think the camaraderie, the time I was able to spend with Shelley and Marianne, both collectively and individually, it helps bring the teamwork and the spirit of cooperation and understanding. So there are those elements of these trips as well. So we represented you well up in Sacramento, and we enjoyed the experience, and we'll be coming with some additional information as the governor now releases that to us. The only other thing that I'd like to say is I, too, have heard a lot of controversy about the parking in lieu fees. I understand all of the concerns. What I will offer is, since I championed that, what I will offer is I would be happy to hold a workshop downtown in Pismo Beach and let everybody come and air their feelings and let me at least give my opinion. I think that's only fair. This backbiting and talking behind mine and council's back does no good for anyone. But I'm willing to put myself out there. I believe in what I brought forward. I also believe that there are alternatives that can be reached. But they're not going to be reached if we don't have a dialogue. And I don't want that to go away. We have been very, very successful in the past several years with a dialogue between council and the business community that needs to continue. So please, the hoteliers out there that say they can't expand, other business people that are concerned, please call me. I will meet with you down there. If you'd like to have another council person, we can certainly do that, but we cannot have three. We can only have two of us there. But the decision has been made. Now, let's talk about it. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else that has any comments or requests? Okay.
Thank you. I wanted to let everybody know that we have a business in Pismo Beach, Longboards Grill. It's on the corner of Water.
I just wanted to say thank you to staff. We had someone in the community, Art Anthony, who reported a pothole, and it got done immediately, so I wanted to compliment the staff. Good job. Again, thank you. Is there anything else? Okay, seeing none, we'll go on to the consent agenda. Is there any items that the council would like to pull from the consent agenda or need any explanations on or anything? Okay, seeing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move for approval of the consent agenda.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Gonzalez G.
Yes.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Yes.
Councilmember Rabinal.
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli.
Yes.
Mayor Reese.
Yes.
Passes 5-0.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is public hearings, and they aren't scheduled till 5:30. So we will move on to the next item on the agenda if we could, and that would be item 6A. and then we'll come back to public hearings.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6A is a proposed ordinance limiting long-term rental of transient lodging here in the city of Pismo Beach. Council asked staff to come back with this about 2 months ago, and at that time I told you we'd schedule it for May. And so we are now back with that, and our city attorney, Dave Fleischman, I think has written an excellent ordinance, and I'd like to introduce him right now to give the staff report.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. What we have before you tonight is a proposed ordinance that would limit the long-term rental of transient lodging within the city. By visiting Pismo Beach, obviously tourists generate a significant amount of sales tax and transient occupancy tax, and it's in the city's best interest to make sure that the transient lodging remains available for people who are coming here to visit rather than turning into long-term rentals, essentially, where the city is both deprived of transient occupancy tax and also just hotel rooms for visitors who are coming from out of town. So I modeled this ordinance on an ordinance by the city of Buena Park. Buena Park was having some issues with long-term stays in their hotels and taking out of commission hotel stock. And they've gone ahead and they've litigated their ordinance, and their ordinance has been upheld. I modified the ordinance somewhat because the issues were a little bit different. But I wanted to make it clear that the ordinance prohibits consecutive days of longer than 30 days. There is a provision. Obviously, it becomes a paperwork issue that if the person checks out and checks back in, it becomes another transient stay. So that is contemplated within the ordinance, and that was one of the issues that Buena Park was dealing with, and they understood that there was an issue with that. But for our particular purposes, we're not as concerned because we understand that that will generate some turnover, and the number of people who are actually going to be staying in these for longer term may be dissuaded by having to go through that process, but it is available nonetheless. So what the proposed ordinance does is limit to 30 days the length of a transient of a stay in a transient lodging within the city. The fiscal impacts potential increase in transient occupancy tax from the turnover of the rooms for rooms that are being currently let for longer than 30 days. There may be some enforcement costs that we need to do if we're getting some word that there are long-term transient spaces being rented for long-term periods of time. I did want to also state that this is part of our continuing efforts to make sure that transient occupancy is available for the visitors to the city of Pismo Beach. We're also looking at ways to increase the revenue by looking for properties where transient occupancy tax may not be generated for the city. It's not being paid to the city, so we're looking at those. That's not part of this ordinance, but this ordinance is one more step in that process to help the city collect the tax that it's entitled to. And I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Got a question.
Okay. Is there any questions from the council?
If I rent room 102 at the Cliffs Hotel for 30 days and I decide I want to go to room 202, does that absolve me at all?
That is contemplated by the ordinance, and that would be permissible as long as you don't have a consecutive 30 or longer than 30 days in the same spot. Because what happens is longer than 30 days, now it becomes a long-term rental, and the city is deprived of the transient occupancy tax in that situation. State law sets the maximum length of time at 30 days for us
That's
to collect
a specific room.
Yes.
Okay. So they can stay within that area, that complex. Doesn't matter.
That's correct.
Okay.
So technically, you could check out of room 101 and check back into room 101.
Technically, you could do that, but it's really the transient occupancy tax that you're going to be collecting out of this. And I suspect that if you have the long-term rental that you've stayed in recently, there's a little card that sets forth the civil code provisions that are state law posting requirements. We're adding just a short section, and it doesn't necessarily have to be posted in every room as long as it's posted on the property.
Okay.
Thank
you.
Mayor?
Yes.
You know, I can see a hardship, though, for small properties, maybe somebody that has a vacation rental and has maybe three units within that vacation rental, and at the end of 30 days, there is no other place for them to go. There isn't another vacancy. And some people come up here and they will spend like 6 weeks here in Pismo Beach. I'm concerned with the wording here. It says, may not again consecutively be rented. What that says to me is that there is no checking out and checking back in, because it would be consecutively rented. I'm not in favor of keeping that sentence within the ordinance and allow the option for the smaller people to be take advantage of.
Well, the way I had drafted the language was with the intent that the consecutive stay, it may be a bookkeeping convenience, that the 30 days is the maximum consecutive stay. If you have a paperwork checkout and check back in, then it's no longer a consecutive stay, even though physically the presence may be there for longer than that period of time.
No, if you read this verbatim, it says may not again consecutively be rented. What we're talking about is Rudy's room 102.
Right. That's what I'm saying is the paperwork convention of checking out and checking back in. Mm-hmm. From an enforcement standpoint, this is how we will be interpreting the ordinance, is that is not a consecutive stay because they have not become a long-term rental at that point. There is a transient rental, check out, check back in, 30 more days or 2 weeks additional in your example. That is not a consecutive stay from an enforcement standpoint, even though for practical purposes. Remember, one of the purposes that we're trying to do is to protect the city's transient occupancy tax by avoiding kind of a loophole of having, well, I'm going to just rent this for 31 days and check out on 30 days, and I don't have to pay any of the transient occupancy tax for the first 30 days.
Right, but if you just let me reiterate one time, it says the maximum time period allowed in this section, then such room, space, lot, area may not again consecutively be rented. That's Rudy's room 102. That space, that lot, that area cannot be consecutively rented.
You have to continue reading that sentence, though, Bill.
Let or otherwise provided to the same party or to any individual firm or entity that was a member of that said party. I mean, that's exclusionary.
And again, what I'm saying is, from an enforcement standpoint, we would not consider that room 102 a consecutive stay, provided there is that checkout, check back in.
Okay. Then
that's the enforcement intent of it.
Okay.
If the council would like me to rework the language, I can certainly do that, but we get the first crack at interpreting our own ordinances, and if a court is going to be looking at our interpretation of the ordinance, the administrative agency or the enforcement agency gets to interpret its own ordinances, and that's given great weight by the courts. That was the intent in that particular language.
Okay. So they can check out, check back in, and that means that they can collect the TOT again. Okay. All right. Is there any other questions from the council? Back to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item? And that's item 6A.
Hi, my name is Effie McDermott, and I'm a little surprised that you're on this item at 5:15, since it's supposed to be later in the agenda, and I believe there are other people who would like to be at this hearing. The first thing I would like to say to you is I understand your desire to collect more money. Second thing I would like to say to you is kindly keep it legal. The collection and the entire bed tax scenario is governed by state law, which I'm sure you're aware of. The state must have had quite a bit of deliberation when they came up with this wording that it would be assessed on people who are transients, and the definition of a transient is someone who stays 30 days or less. Your ordinance, as proposed, is quite clear that anyone may not stay more than 30 days, and no one with them or connected with them may re-rent that space. Am I correct in that?
I think that's what Bill was just asking, but we'll have him.
Yeah, I'm not sure how I can explain it any differently than it's our enforcement of it. That
your legislature and see if they might change the transient occupancy tax law in the state of California so it applies statewide to everyone else. But as this is proposed, it it's a scam. And I hope you don't do this, Doc.
Could I ask, Effie, how is the state law worded that you feel it's in conflict?
The Revenue and Taxation Code, Section 7280, says, the legislative body of any city, county, or city and county may levy a tax on the privilege of occupying a room or rooms or other living space in a hotel, inn, tourist home, or house, motel, or other lodging, unless the occupancy is for a period of more than 30 days. And there's a great deal more. I'm sure your city attorney can provide that to you.
Okay. Do you have a comment about that?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I drafted with that specific language in mind. We are entitled to levy the tax unless the occupancy is for greater than 30 days. There is nothing in RTC 7280 that prohibits us from limiting the stay to 30 days or less. In fact, it's specifically contemplated, I believe. Like I said, the city of Buena Park litigated their ordinance that's almost the exact same wording as ours. That's where I took this from. So I don't believe I'm introducing anything novel, and I was well aware of 7280 when I drafted this ordinance. That was the whole point of trying to get so that we would be able to levy that tax on the stays.
Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak to this item?
Marilee Hyman, 2141 Shoreline Drive. Madam Mayor, members of the council, I applaud your effort to try to collect more transient occupancy tax. We can use all the help and all the money we can get. However, my question is, has this proposed ordinance been available very long to the hoteliers in town for them to look it over and comment on it? Sometimes when you have something on the agenda, they don't know about it till Thursday night or Friday, and then from then till now, the same as you have to look over all this information and come back with your questions and whatever. Have they had more than just a couple days to look this over and comment on it? I think it would be important that they have a say and be able to do that. And sometimes when it's just the agenda period of time, it's not enough. One hotelier wasn't aware that this was being talked about or that you wanted it to come forward. I've been to enough meetings where I know you've wanted this to come for quite some time, but they weren't aware of it. A comment like, gee, that's, we're being more unfriendly to our visitors. You have a little sign up there on your hotel desk saying you can't stay here more than 30 days. So I'd be interested in your comments. Thank you.
That's probably a good question, Mr. City Manager. Did we send out any notices to the hotels or city attorney?
Madam Mayor and Council, as far as I know, we did not send out any kind of special notices to the hotels or motels or other vacation rental units here in town. And we posted on our web and put it out there for like all agendas. I mean, it's an agenda item like all agenda items, and it's posted and public can go on the web and learn about it.
And also, because it's an ordinance, there will be a second reading 2 weeks from now, or if the council directs changes, presumably 2 meetings from now. So there would be an opportunity for those who are interested in this to come and address the council at a subsequent meeting. That's all ordinances except urgency ordinances require 2 readings, and then you've got 30 days after that before they go into effect. So there's lots of time, even though we may not have gone out and sent notices to the individual hotel properties about this. It'd be pretty cost prohibitive for us as staff to take a look at every ordinance and try to determine the exact focus group and send out targeted mailers on those to ensure that people got here for the first reading. I suspect that when the second reading comes around at this meeting, you'll have additional input from the hotel community, vacation rental community, and so on.
Okay. That was the chamber. Did the chamber get a copy of this in advance? Of course, again, the agenda is available to them or on the website, I suppose. But
I did not send a copy of this particular agenda to the Chamber of Commerce. No, I did not.
Okay. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Madam Mayor and mm-hmm. Council, if I could, I was just reminded by our city clerk that we do specifically email the agenda to the Chamber of Commerce. They're on an email list, so when it went out last Wednesday or Thursday, it went directly to them.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Would suggest that we clarify that so somebody wouldn't get a clerk who is ignorant of our intent, has a person who's there, and we tell him, or this clerk tells him, you can't move into your room again, and can't check out and check back in. And believe me, not everyone was as well educated or as knowledgeable as our city attorney and other staff members who maybe understand the intent of an ordinance. Thank you.
Did you want to comment on that?
Well, Madam Mayor, it might just simplify things to take out that sentence.
Yes, that's okay. Going to be my suggestion.
It's amplifying the first sentence, but if it simplifies matters and makes it easier for interpretation, then it'll just it'll read the section one, it shall be unlawful for the operator of any hotel to rent or let or otherwise provide any room, space, lot, area, or site therein to any person, firm, partnership, corporation, association, or other business entity for more than 30 consecutive days, period.
Period. The other part with that, too, Madam Mayor, is that I don't know that we would want to encourage, and I don't think that a hotelier would place a sign up there that would say anything negative. I think with that sentence being eliminated, there is no reason to do that unless... maybe the person decided to stay a little bit longer, wasn't planning on staying past 30 days, then they might have to have that discussion with them. Well, we have to check you out and check you back in. But as far as putting it up there, generally people are going to come and stay for a month or two. The hotelier or the property would know that in advance and would be able to do that. So I'm certainly not encouraging anybody to put any signs on any desk.
Okay, well, I'm just going to ask if there's a consensus that we remove that section, and then I'm going to go back out to the public again.
Yes.
Is there a consensus?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Madam Mayor, Honorable Counsel Art Anthony, why irritate one of your publics, an important public like the visitor-serving community, by letting them find out about this by reading the newspapers? I suggest to you, well, first let me say this. All is not happiness everywhere in this city, despite all the good work that you and preceding councils have done. There is, for example, still a sign on a home that faces James Way which says, in large letters, sold out by the Pismo City Council. That's left over from your land use action last year. People don't forget these things, and your hotel community and the RV people and the others who have vacation rentals won't forget it either if you push this thing through now. I have no doubt that the city attorney's done a competent job, but the rumors will start the minute they read it in the newspaper. I suggest to you that you table this matter right now and communicate with all those concerned about when you will see it next. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this item?
Madam Mayor, members of the Council, Tony Spinelli. I echo what's been said up here, but, you know, there's a couple things that we're missing. And number one is if you're worried about bed tax, there's so many residents right now, I understand from Randy that they're going to address this, hopefully, that are doing vacation rentals in their house, and according to your zoning ordinance, that anything in an R1 zone can't be a vacation rental. I think if you concentrated more on changing that ordinance to read that we can have vacation rentals and that is already happening in R1 zones and going after that bed tax, you'd get a lot farther than worrying about this ordinance that I want to know how you're going to enforce it. Now, are we going to have a bed cop out there now? To be honest with you, I mean, here we go past another ordinance that we have ordinances on the books that we don't even enforce now. So, I mean, to me, you know, you're paddling upstream with nowhere to go. So, I mean, it's great that you're looking at this, and I'm in the vacation rental business now, but my point is that I have clients that would like to turn their houses in Shell Beach into vacation rentals, and they're worried about it because of the fact that they're in an R1 zone. So think about that. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll come back to the council. What is the council's desire?
I just wanted to let you know, Madam Mayor, that I went ahead and edited it and took it out, and I printed it on the printer so that we'll have the first reading, and you will have the text of the ordinance available to you here. So we can go ahead with the first reading. We don't need to bring it back for a subsequent meeting.
Oh. Understood. Thank you. Okay, what is the council's desire?
Well, Madam Mayor, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with Mr. Spinelli wholeheartedly, even though I understand what he's saying and where he's coming from. But you see, I don't want particularly to see vacation rentals popping up in Shell Beach or anywhere else in the community. We seemed pretty emphatic, seemed pretty specific as to what the legislature adopted with reference to TOT. That is not a concern of yours. You do not believe that we would be forcing our hoteliers and other property owners in the vacation rental business to break the law, or is the city of Pismo Beach putting them in jeopardy of breaking the law?
Yeah, I'm not worried about the hotel properties being in violation of the law. What 7280 says is that the city may levy a tax on transients of 30 days or less. That's all it says. Well, it says more than that, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah.
We're allowed to impose TOT 30 days or less. If we have a transient rental of 60 days, we're not allowed to impose TOT on any portion of that stay. What we are allowed to do, though, as a police power, is limit the length of stays. It's the same as you would have with a land use regulation. You allow certain uses in some zones, and other zones you do not permit those. It's a police power regulation. I would be a little more concerned about the situation had there not been litigation over the case, over a very similar ordinance in the city of Buena Park. I spoke with their code prosecutor, talked to him about the pitfalls that they've run into, and there is no legislation that is absolutely bulletproof or perfect. It cannot be done. There will always be a creative attorney out there who will come up with an argument that maybe some judge in the state of California will adopt. But I'm sufficiently confident that the way I've drafted this is in compliance with Revenue and Taxation Code 7280, and it also is in keeping with our police power regulations.
Okay, now, do you also feel that we then, as a city, should we adopt this, have a responsibility after the fact now to contact the hoteliers and make sure that staff and everybody is well aware of this new ordinance?
Well, I think you as the council can certainly direct us as staff to send it out to the hotel properties. The question is, one, funding, make sure that we've got the money to be doing that, then the means by which we distribute it, whether it be personal mailings to each of the properties or a newspaper ad informing the hotel properties. And then the third question is, what is the scope of the attention that we're trying to get? Is it just the hotel properties, or are we looking at vacation rentals, and should we put in the legwork to go and find all the vacation rentals out there, including the ones that aren't paying us TOT right now?
Yes, we should.
And that is something that we will be addressing. Like I said it in my staff report at the outset, this is the first step that we're taking in an enforcement mechanism. I've been given direction to go ahead and set up an entire program where we can go ahead and send out letters to people. And if you'll notice in this month's Clam Chronicle, that was really the first step. Were you aware that TOT is an obligation of vacation rentals? So this is yet another step in that process. And if the council passes this, it'll give us an additional tool to enforce what we have as far as transient occupancy tax collection methods.
I'm satisfied, Madam Mayor.
Madam Mayor and Council, if I could just add a little bit to that. If you think back about two and a half months ago, and we were starting to go through our budget preparation process, you all instructed staff at that time to prepare such an ordinance and to also go after the people who are not paying TOT at all right now. And so this, as Dave has just said, this is the first step. Actually, this is the second step. The first step was the article he wrote in the Clam Chronicle, which everyone's probably read. This is the second step. The third step is the preparation of a letter of what he's involved in to go after the folks who are all out there doing vacation rentals or whatever and not paying any TOT. And we're, as you instructed us, we're going to go after that TOT here soon, too.
Madam Mayor? One of my concerns with sending out letters to this group is It's going to open up a can of, it could open up a can of worms that anything that's agendized, someone will feel that they should have been notified. And if we haven't done it in the past, I wouldn't be interested in doing that now.
Okay, I was looking at what the ordinance requires, and it just says the city clerk shall certify to the passage and adoption of this ordinance, shall enter the same in the book of original ordinances of the city, and shall make a minute of the passage and adoption thereof in the records of the meeting at which time it is passed and adopted. Before the expiration of 15 days after the passage of this ordinance, the city clerk shall cause the same to be posted in three public places within the city of Pismo Beach. And I was looking at that to see if we were requiring publication in the newspaper, but we don't, I guess. We just do it at City Hall, at the post office.
Madam Mayor, there is one other aspect too. We have two very viable business groups within the community. We have the Pismo Beach Chamber of Commerce, and we have the Business Improvement Group. You know, possibly that might be an area too where we might use that, because I too understand exactly what Arlene is saying. Because, you know, what's good for the.
I said. I suspect that you're going to have additional people coming in at the next meeting, because there will be at least 3 weeks between now and a second reading, assuming you do a first reading, for the people to get the word out to the necessary audiences who may be interested in this.
Okay. If there's no more discussion, I'll entertain a motion.
Actually, if I may. Well, this is a good example of why you need to join the Chamber of Commerce, because if all these hoteliers would join, this would be another avenue of which to get the information out. So I have to say that. I am concerned about implementing a law where we can't really enforce it.
Oh,
and
we can.
Okay. I'm concerned about it. One more rule that we don't have good enforcement. And I hope that the benefits of doing this outweigh the potential risks of losing some business.
Thank you. Is there any other?
Let's make the motion. Let's get this thing over with.
Okay,
I'd make the motion that we go ahead and approve this ordinance, first reading of this ordinance.
Okay.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Roll call.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0.
Okay.
Did we see with the new verbiage?
This is the new verbiage.
Okay.
This is the new verbiage.
Oh, I'm saying, okay. Was it passed with the new verbiage?
As amended.
Okay. I assumed that the copy that I printed out with for you with that section removed was the one that you were going forward with.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for the record. Okay. It is now past the time of our public hearing, so we will go back to our public hearing, which is...
5A.
5A. And this is our urgency ordinance, Mr. City Manager.
Yes, Madam Mayor and Council. Item 5A is an extension of our urgency ordinance, which you passed recently, dealing mostly with the medical marijuana dispensaries. I'd like to ask our city attorney again here to reintroduce this extension of the urgency ordinance.
Thank you, Mr. Rice. On April 5th, the City Council passed a resolution of intent to adopt a permanent ordinance dealing with medical marijuana dispensaries within the city. And at that same meeting, the City Council adopted an urgency ordinance prohibiting the establishment of medical marijuana dispensaries within the city during the time that this matter is being examined by the Planning Commission. The way an urgency ordinance of this type works, you have 45 days, and then you can seek an extension by adopting a further urgency ordinance. That second one lasts for 10 months, 15 days, and then if that's inadequate time to finish the examination of the land use issue, there can be a further one-year extension. We're not anticipating that the Planning Commission will need that additional year, and we hope to have the entire thing with a recommended ordinance for you prior to the expiration of the proposed second urgency ordinance, which would be April 1st, 2006. I will note that shortly before the agenda went to print, I received a packet of materials from a group, I believe, called Americans for Safe Access that indicated the other side of the story, so to speak, the access side that would enable the council to take a look at what is being done in some other cities, some litigation efforts that has been leveled by this organization against the city of Fresno for its medical marijuana prohibition. I will point out, however, that the prohibition is only in effect so that our planning commission can continue to study the matter, and I don't know at this point what the final result will be out of the planning commission. They may come back with a different recommendation than outright prohibition, but that process needs to be ongoing, and to make sure that we don't have the medical marijuana dispensaries being put into areas where we might not want them after final study, we're recommending that you pass the urgency ordinance for that additional 10 months, 15 days. Okay. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Okay. Does any of the council have any questions before I open it up for the public hearing?
I don't have any.
Seeing none, I'll open the public hearing. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to speak to this item? No one to speak to this item. Okay, is there any discussion?
Yes,
or?
There is. I'd like to, if I may. Mr. City Attorney.
I'll close the public hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I mentioned this at the last time that this was brought forward, and I likened it to pornography, in that isn't there a way that we can go to the County Board of Supervisors and say, let's look at the population of San Luis Obispo County, let's look at recent legislative actions regarding this marijuana issue and the pornography issue, and say, rather than every city within this county having to post a prohibition.
For example, you know, if we are looking at regional transportation needs, that's something where cooperatively the state has imposed certain entities that help us with that process. The state has not given any legislation that would enable there to be sort of county-wide legislation on where you can place medical marijuana dispensaries. And what makes it even more difficult is there are some cities, the city of, I believe, Oakland, some other cities in the Bay Area, that are absolutely looking to establish them within the city limits. Mm-hmm. So it becomes part of the political climate and culture of a particular city council as to whether or not they want to have it. There are some other cities where absolute prohibition is where it is going to happen. City of Rockland, they don't under any circumstances want a medical marijuana dispensary. So I can't really speak for whether Royal Grande, Grover Beach, or any of the unincorporated county areas in South County would be willing to host a medical marijuana dispensary if the city of Pismo Beach were not going to do that. Again, that's part of the process that we'll be going through with the Planning Commission. There may be something that comes back, but unfortunately, in this type of context, there is no overarching legislation that allows us to do this on a regional basis. We have to look at our own land use regulations and do it on a city-by-city basis.
All right, well, that makes sense, but also we do regional things. Tom Martin, as an example, you know, we have a huge solid waste recovery system or a dumping area out there as well, but I'm certain that they didn't have to go to every city, that there was a regional effort to say, okay, regionally, we're going to locate it over here in this area. Anyway, okay, I will not belabor the point, but I still think that that it's viable. Maybe the legislature should. Anyway, it's not.
In the executive summary, Madam Mayor, it says the existing ordinance will expire on May 20th, 2005, if not extended, and because the Planning Commission has not yet finished its review. Mm-hmm. So it's really all we're doing is just extending it for 10 months, 15 days until the Planning Commission reviews it.
Right. Yeah. And if the Planning Commission came back with a proposed ordinance for you, one way or the other, whatever the results of that process are, and you adopt a subsequent ordinance that either permits them with certain regulation or prohibits them altogether, that's going to supersede this urgency ordinance. If you do nothing, however, come May 20th, that urgency ordinance expires, and there are no regulations. They can basically put them wherever. There are no regulations on it.
Okay. Is there any other comments?
Ready for motion? Or? No.
Okay. Then I'm ready for a motion. Well, I moved. I moved to adopt the urgency ordinance extending prohibition of the medical marijuana dispensaries in any zone of this city for 10 months and 15 days.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, I've had a request for us to have a short break in between these items. Could we do that?
Yeah, Tom's got nothing to do.
We will adjourn for 5 minutes.
5 minutes.